sexy, spooky bones.
Hello and welcome to the Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I'm Rolando.
Hey, it's me, John.
Oh, I thought it was the distinguished Evan Rendell or whatever.
Hey, I'm your doctor. Just kidding.
What was that? And if you don't know by now, welcome. We are reviewing Dr. Giggles. So John will give us the plot in 5 words or your first thoughts and then go to a deep spoiler analysis. But John, please follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and or your podcatcher of choice.
And please be winter already. I beg of you.
Please, hello God. It's finally gotten hot in late August. So, yeah, the heat wave finally is here in LA.
Drink your water. Be careful of the cancer-causing shit in them.
Yeah. just drink Monsters. It's fine. It's the same thing.
A bit topical, but did you hear about they passed a law that went into effect to temporarily block people from suing water distributing companies so they have time to filter out all the cancer-causing chemicals without getting in trouble?
Oh, well, I mean, they're shitting our beach water, right? I mean, every time it rains, it flushes out into the ocean.
Well, to be fair, fish fucking that, so.
Yeah, but a little fish fucking.
Little octopus. Like,
semen. The semen's won't hurt us.
I don't want to know what octopus hand stuff is like. That's a lot of hands.
Very handsy. Yeah.
Heard octopuses suck because they have suckers.
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like. Marilla, regular, what's his name? Winslow? What's his name? Michael Winslow?
Who? Michael Winslow?
Wait, is that his name? The Police Academy
know.
And...
Oh. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know his name in the Police Academy.
Oh, I think his real name is like Michael Winslow or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. But I don't know. Doesn't he have like... Oh. Like a name like...
Name, right?
Radar or...
Yeah, probably.
Something like that, right? Like something goofy.
I think his name was, and so his name was
Turner.
Steve Gutenberg.
Oh, that's a terrible name.
Michael Winslow played Larvell Jones. Anyway.
It's a terrible name. Is it terrible?
Yes. The memorable name, LeVar Jones. All right. We're here to talk about a classic.
All right. Speaking of terrible, Dr. Giggles. Wow. John.
I thought you were going to say bring her back. I'm just kidding.
Bring her back.
You're in the impression that I hated the movie.
Maybe I hated this movie. Maybe I thought this is the best movie ever made. I don't know. But first, John.
Why can't it be both?
Interesting. Interesting you say that. So, but first, John, please give us the plot in 5 words.
Johnny.
5 words.
Plot summary.
Rolando, drum roll, please.
Coming in at number 3 for Dr. Giggles, not licensed. What about Dr. Pepper?
Okay.
Coming in at number 2 for Dr. Giggles, classic black people die first.
Okay. It's just facts.
It's just a very 90s movie.
Very 90s, yeah.
Barely 90s, 92. And coming in at number 1 for Dr. Giggles, American healthcare system at work.
There it is. That's it. That's the one.
We don't have to review the movie anymore. That's it.
That's it. We're done.
Very topical movie, actually.
I wish I could afford him. He seems very thorough. So, yes.
That's the doctors you get at urgent care.
Dr. Giggles, yeah. Just Larry Drake. He's not even a real doctor. Just him. All right, John, what are your first thoughts on Dr. Giggles?
Well, one of my first thoughts is at one point, this is a bit of a spoiler, but Larry Drake has to do surgery on himself. And I couldn't help, like, I don't think I've ever seen him without, like, a suit on. I think every time I've seen him in a movie, he's always wearing, like, a suit.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't help but think, like, was this guy, like, a linebacker at one point or something?
I don't know. Was he?
Because sometimes I was like, why don't they just fight back? But when he had a, like, he was doing surgery on himself, he was wearing like a shirt, and I was like, oh, this guy's like fucking massive. I don't know.
That's your first thoughts. That's your first thoughts. Is Larry Drake an athlete? Did he play like a linebacker?
Was he an athlete? He's fucking massive. No, I don't know.
What about the movie? What about the movie itself?
Yeah, yeah. Was he an athlete in the movie also? Was what I was wondering. Just kidding. No, I thought it was exactly what I remembered.
Okay.
Which was that it was bad, but I really enjoyed it. And it's like, when did Darkman come out?
90. I have it pulled up. I didn't pull that from the top of my head. I just have his IMDb pulled up. But yeah.
Yeah, because I was like, this feels like it was right after, and I guess it was.
For the most part, a couple years later, I felt like Darkman kind of put him on the map a little bit, right? Like in terms of B-movie status. I mean, he didn't really headline too many other movies after this.
No.
He's more of a like character actor. Great character actor.
I think he was more of like a theater guy, right?
Seems like he did a lot of like animation, which makes sense because he's a very interesting voice.
He did come out in Firefly.
Oh, he did? I don't remember.
That settles it. Yeah, just kidding. Yeah, he didn't really do. I mean,
he's in American Pie 2. That classic.
He stayed working.
Yeah. But yeah, I would say like is from like it's like literally Darkman and Dr. Giggles are like his biggest claim to fames.
I would also say Darkman too. Do you remember? I think he ended up becoming Darkman, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Return of Something, right? Like the, forget the subtitle of it. Because I guess they weren't going to bring back Liam Neeson. The Return of Durant. Is that correct? Is yeah, that the name? Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
This had an interesting cast also.
Indeed, yes. Very, very 90s cast. A lot of people, known people in this movie. Holly Marie Combs from Charmed. Cliff DeYoung as the dad. He looked super familiar too. What was he in?
He just didn't have his like all white hair, so I don't know why I didn't recognize him, but yeah. Cliff DeYoung always plays like the bad guy, I feel like.
I feel like his most popular role is a bad guy or something, right?
I mean, he was a bad guy. He came out in Togetherness.
Oh.
There you go. That's what it was. That's your favorite movie because they shot it in your neighborhood.
I feel like he's famous for something.
It's fucking hot, by the way.
Sorry. No, yeah, it is. It's definitely hot.
I feel like I'm like being
apologize if we're not having coherent thoughts at the moment. Glenn Quinn of the Angel and Buffy series.
Yeah, who he OD'd tragically, right?
Yes, during the Angels run.
I guess he was on Jag, and I remember him on Jag.
Jag off. Yeah.
Which Jag, I don't know how many people are going to remember this, was a precursor to NCIS, right?
Yes, it was. Yeah. Just the old folks that watch CBS.
Yeah.
And we had Dougie Doug. Dougie Doug. Everybody remembers Dougie Doug. Everybody.
Everybody
remembers Dougie Doug. Yeah, but pretty 90s essential cast here. I would say my first thoughts is after a string of very like serious movies, to me this movie is in essence what I mean is like we had to like really like there are anticipated movies for the calendar year, so we wanted to like give it my undivided attention.
So this refreshing.
This was a palate cleanser, yes.
Like a nice
loved cold, this movie.
Crisp Dr. Pepper on a really warm summer's day. How many times I can mention Dr. Pepper in this, and hopefully we get sponsored so I can get free Dr. Peppers.
Or get the episode taken down.
Dr. Pepper, strawberries and cream, super delicious. Also blackberry Dr. Pepper, super delicious as well. Please sponsor it.
And yeah, I just, I really like this movie. It's a really bad B movie, but I found it incredibly funny. To me, this is like not even a comedy. It's a horror. It's not even a horror movie. It's a comedy.
Hey, why can't both be true?
I mean,
I'm just kidding. It's not even a horror. It's a comedy. I mean, it's not even a comedy. It's a horror. Both are true. I'm just kidding.
Both are true. Yeah. And I absolutely loved all of the really, sort of one-liners Larry Drake gets in this.
Yeah, so corny. You can tell he's like really having fun with it too. Like he went out of his way to like whenever he does the giggles, he's got like a straight like stone cold face.
Mm-hmm. And I just like that. If you think that's bad, wait until you get my bill.
Yeah,
it's a great line.
I also like there's like another doctor at one point, and she was. What does he say? He's like, I think you need a second opinion. Luckily, I'm a doctor, something like that.
Laughter is the best medicine.
This movie walked so Patch Adams could run, you know?
Yeah, or Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah.
And swim. whatever the analogy is there. But no, I really enjoyed this movie. I don't know what it was. I totally understand it's B movie. It's like, but they just, honestly, they don't make movies like this anymore. And it was kind of refreshing to watch something made for a home audience.
Yeah.
You know, this is, I don't, there's a bit of a weird distinction now, right? Because everything pretty much is like streaming and goes to the home, and it's a challenge for people to go to movies now in the theater. It's kind of up and down. It's not as consistent as it once was. And so this type of movie that would just go direct to
VHS.
Video or VHS or like whatever goes straight to cable or something. There's hundreds of these types of movies, and they're not made to play in theaters.
No.
If it did get any kind of run, it probably was very limited. And it was just, I just thought it was a really fun movie.
You remember?
Now, granted,
this time,
yeah.
Jack Frost came out, the one with Michael Keaton.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people are confused because at the same time, and I don't, this might have been slightly intentional, but I don't think they intended to do like a spoof movie. I think they just had the same idea, kind of, when there was Jack Frost, mm-hmm. the horror movie, where a murderer got reincarnated as a snowman. Anyway.
Much better idea.
Yeah.
But.
So apparently people kept listing this as unintentionally funny movies, even though the writer said, "I wrote this to be a funny movie." I was like, how do you not see that it was supposed to be funny?
It's directed like old Batman episodes, right? Yeah. Like, it's very TV, kind of Dutch angles, one-liners. Yeah. And in my opinion, it's just enough violence and gore that I was entertained with. Like, I was never like, oh, this is, you get, somebody dies and it's just kind of boring. I thought there's a lot of creativity and fun in a lot of the deaths.
Where some of our heroes are trying to escape this area, and one guy had to like climb and jump because like the staircase that went down to a certain area had like been destroyed, and he's trying to help up our other protagonist. And she's just having the hardest time. And I was like getting irritated because I was like, come on, like, why would they direct it? Why would they shoot it this way? And then it kept going. I was like, okay, this is getting fucking funny. I think it's supposed to be funny. Like, it just like, it was like a solid 30 seconds of her trying to kick her feet up to get up there. I'm like, what is this? It was really funny.
The tagline of this movie is, sorry, ... the doctor is in ... sane. It's just like... they're just trying to have fun in this movie. There's nothing to take serious. And one of my favorite parts is like when he escapes his insane asylum and he gets back to his old home, and then he's putting on his, I'm assuming his like father's clothes that he wore, yeah. And then they're a perfect fit. So he's wearing, you know, almost like a 3-piece suit and then a doctor's jacket over that. And that's pretty much like his uniform for majority of this movie, which I found hilarious that he just put, and then he has this dad's medical bag with the initials on it. And I thought it was so funny. I was like, how did this guy like just fit into his dad's clothes? Cause his dad is wearing something very similar in the flashbacks as well.
Right.
So, and that's part of the main, I don't know, big plot point of this is that the doctor's trying to get revenge on the townspeople that killed his dad. So
did you know, I mean, okay, we can agree that this movie was super campy. Jennifer Aniston and Ashley Judd auditioned for that main role.
Right. They went with the movie out. Star.
I mean, Jennifer Aniston went on to do Leprechaun, but
yeah.
Luckily nobody really remembers that movie for her.
It's true.
Remember for Warwick fucking Davis, the fucking master.
Yeah. I just, it's pretty like, in no way the story is like, I don't think it really makes a ton of sense. And I think there's really poor characters, you know, there's all of the teenagers are just like one dimensional sexed up.
They are there to get killed. Yeah.
Yeah. All the women are trying to sleep with somebody, and except for our main character, but yeah.
She's got a heart problem.
She has some weird heart condition. She has to wear a transitioner radio or whatever.
Yeah, it looks like an AM/FM radio. Yeah, it's really bad.
As part of her heart condition. Yeah.
The teenagers are really funny. So many of them die that I started losing track of who was supposed to be who. And I was like, I don't think this matters.
No, yeah.
But at one point, she like finds somebody that's killed them. Like, I'm not even sure who that is. I don't know if that's like, I had no idea who it was. I was like, is that the mean girl? I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, a lot of the teenagers are so secondary. It's clearly just like Larry Drake's movie, and he's like stealing every scene he's in. He's like literally the most interesting thing in this movie,
except for I would say the old-timer cop, the old-timer sheriff guy.
Oh yeah,
he's got this really great sort of monologue where he explains the story of Rendell, the doctor, and his son, and he's being really dramatic about it. And then the other cop, who I guess was supposed to be a hero, and then you know what happens, but he's like just there reacting in disbelief while this guy has this really long story. It was really funny. Don't go chasing nursery rhymes. I'm like, did they make a nursery rhyme for the doctor? What? Why am I barely hearing about this in the last 30 minutes of the movie?
I just love that he's also the doctor. The officer was like, you owe me 35 years of sleep, you sick son of a bitch. It's like... Another
he's got
classic.
A knife stabbed in the back of his neck, right?
It's like a scar. Yeah, he has like a knife stabbed in his neck.
Oh my god! Yeah, this movie's really funny.
Yeah.
There's a part where like the dad, right, where he's like, I guess he's sleeping with some other woman. Not like in a bad way, right? I'm assuming that they got divorced or something, and his ex.
He's moved on. Yeah. Well, she seems kind of like a bitch too.
Totally,
I mean,
because she's like,
lack of a better word there, but
I think she needs to be on her own. She's like, no, she has a heart problem. It's like, well, it's either her or me. I'm like, what? Where's this coming from?
I'll be like, her. I don't give a shit about you. Like, that's my daughter. Fuck you.
I want to have more sex because I'm a woman in this movie and we just care about sex.
Yeah.
And all the men are like, no,
my feelings.
Except for a hero guy, right? He's like making out with some other chick because there's these two girls that are kind of like mean girls and don't like the girl with the heart condition that I kept forgetting about. I was like, who the fuck?
But they're friends. But they're all friends, though. It's so funny. Yeah. Yeah, they basically missummer him. Yeah, into yeah.
But all is forgiven with that guy, I guess. I don't know.
I kind of feel like they almost allude to, but don't go as far as to say that the Clint Quinn character Max was dating Holly Marie Combs' character Jennifer, and like maybe they weren't having sex, or like maybe he just wanted to have sex with her.
Yeah,
but they don't go as far to say as much. That's what his intention was.
No, yeah, but they you're right. They do allude to it. Like, she's
uncomfortable because, like, her
I don't know.
She has a heart problem. Yeah. I mean, she's just, yeah. And my mom's dead and got a heart problem. Yeah.
And, yeah, I don't know. I guess.
I think it's funny that we just saw, what is it? Clown in the Cornfield. And it's like almost the same setup. A doctor. He's like, it's a dad and a daughter. And yet, you know, and it's about their relationship. And this is not, it's kind of about like, there is a dad in this and there is, you know, a daughter, but it's like not as important to that movie. But I feel like Clown in the Cornfield kind of nailed that relationship. And this one is just pretty standard
there.
Yeah. It's like, why even have a dad in this? I guess because she's a teenager, or I don't know, just
yeah.
I guess they were just trying to add stakes to it, right? Because like, she had that really bad girlfriend and it kind of doesn't really directly involve the plot.
No,
like,
but there isn't really a plot either. It just she happens to be the final role is kind of the way the script like fleshes out.
Yeah, we have to give her something to do. Yeah. Like, you got to fight with your dad and your boyfriend's horny and you don't want to sleep with him and there's mean girls after her.
But you know what I mean? Like the synopsis says like, oh, he's after this girl that has a heart condition. But I'm like, it just seems the way it's written out, like he just never got to her. Like something always got in the way and he had to kill somebody else.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of the motivation for the doctor, Dr. Giggles, was that he wants to take revenge on this town. It's very, I don't know, Frankenstein, right? Like, yeah. It's not a Frankenstein's not a revenge story, but it's the idea that townspeople killed his father, and now that he's older and was put in a mental institution at some point, got free and wants to kill the people of the town. And then he meets this girl with the heart condition, and so he becomes obsessed with trying to treat her because he's a doctor or whatever, right? He thinks he's a doctor.
And he also, I guess that's a spoiler. Never mind.
Well, I really feel like the opening of this movie is super crazy.
Yeah.
Like, it's your classic, like, villain. It's your classic, like, villain escape, like, Joker escape thing, you know? Like, if you were to watch it, maybe, like, early Batman, Joe Schumacher, Batman type escape.
Because even the patients there, they have them acting, like, loony, like, cartoonishly loony, like, not real mental patients.
Right, yeah.
Like, again, like, Batman villains, like, Arkham Asylum or something. Like.
And then we get the brief synopsis that he was a brilliant man who thinks he's a doctor, and so he operates on people.
Yes. I'm not sure if that makes him brilliant, right?
To
indicate he was smart.
He just enjoyed practicing doctor medicine.
That was so funny. Like, they show him as a child, and there's like all these stuffed animals that have like incisions and like really poorly done tattoos. And
really trying to nail it home.
Yeah,
that he's this amazing doctor.
In case you haven't figured out who this kid is, right? In case you can't figure out who this kid's going to be.
Well, they needed a villain origin story.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, yeah, this, you're right. It basically is like a Batman villain.
Pretty much, yeah. Which I thought I loved, you know. That was a lot of fun. Especially that opening. I was like, oh, this is going to be a lot of fun, this movie. So it's going to, just the beginning of just how silly the opening is, and the sort of establishment of the doctor and who he is.
And it's fast, and, too, right? Like, they don't try to spend too much time away from Dr. Giggles.
It's really kind of when the teens are introduced, where the whole movie kind of just, oh, I'm in a bad movie. It's like, oh, this is when the movie slows down. And we're like, oh, okay, yeah. I forgot they got to set up all these dumb characters.
Like, these friends did not give a shit about their black friends. You know, like they disappeared at the beginning of the movie, and nobody questioned it for like days.
They're like, what happened to, what are the character's name?
That's the thing. I don't even know if we hear their names out loud. It happened so quick.
Trotter and Lee.
Trotter and Lee.
What happened to Trotter and Lee? I don't know. They're just out of town.
Yeah, they're our black friends. Who cares? They're the only other black people in this movie. It's fine. It's okay, though, because one of the cops, he's black. You could tell, like, I don't know, I was chalking it up to like, this is a very 90s movie, like that felt weird, but then the more I watched the movie, I was like, did this writer intentionally do these things? Like, did he write that on purpose,
these two characters? Man, I would love to get that script and read it.
I would love to hear an interview about this guy going like, I was making fun of every fucking shitty horror movie I saw, and nobody got it. They thought I was being serious.
Who would you here's a fun question, who would you cast in a remake of Dr. Giggles? I give you an unlimited budget, and you decide to remake Dr. Giggles, and I greenlight it.
You know,
since unfortunately we can't have Larry Drake, right? Passed away. But
as a note to Larry Drake, though, I would ask Liam Neeson if you would do it.
That would be pretty rad. Okay, that would be pretty.
As a little dark man tribute. I would cast Jenna Ortega as Dougie Dugspart.
Okay.
But it's going to be like a shot-for-shot remake, right?
Of course, yeah. Absolutely.
The main girl would be a tough one, because I think it would have to be because she, like, kind of overacted, and, like, there wasn't anything for her to do. She just had to be, like, weak and meek the entire time until she had a moment at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Which you can kind of thank Dr. Giggles for, maybe? I don't know. Can thank Rendell for doing what he did and potentially fixing her. I don't know, that's tough. I think because he's on a roll right now. What's his name, Mr. Terrific?
Mr. Terrific from Superman?
Yes.
I'm not gonna pronounce that.
Give it the old college try. Let's get canceled together. Anyway, I'd cast him maybe as like the cop.
Okay.
Or let's see.
I got a fun cast choice for Max, the boyfriend.
Is it the guy that played Jimmy Olsen? I'm just kidding. We're just going to use the same cast?
No, we're just going to use Superman. Yeah. No, I was going to say, why don't you cast Tim Robbins? Robinson.
Oh, that'd be funny. That'd be so funny.
As the boyfriend?
As the boyfriend, yeah.
Yeah.
And then
that'd be great.
Paul Rudd is Dr. Giggles. There you go, bro. I mean,
that'd be pretty good.
I think he could do a very good Larry Drake.
I was also going to say Paul Rudd could be the dad.
And you could get, oh yeah, Paul Rudd could also be the dad. And then you just have Tim Robinson just play age appropriate with his 17-year-old or whatever.
Just like a,
yeah.
I mean, who would be a good choice for that main girl?
I mean, it could be anybody, honestly.
Oh, you know what? Somebody that looks young for her age. Oh, what's her name? Ayo? From The Bear?
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's a good one, too.
I think she'd be great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think she'd be great, actually.
Greenlight it. Perfect movie. Yeah.
But we gotta cast all the mean girls, too. They could just be wildly different ages, too. Like... we'll get like Anna Faris and Parker Posey. Like, what was that movie we watched where Parker Posey played the teenage version of herself too? Parenting?
Oh, The Parenting, yeah. The
Parenting. Yeah, I was like, that's fantastic. That's so funny.
Why don't we just recast the same girls that play the mean girls in it? The two actresses. Why not?
I kind of feel like David Wayne needs to direct this too.
Like a Damon.
Huh? No, David Wayne.
David Wayne. Oh, yeah. I was like, Wayne. I thought you meant somebody else.
Which, I mean, you're not. I mean, it would be kind of a spoof, but he's pretty good about directing things to be serious, to be funny.
Really respecting the source material, Dr. Giggles. This.
Yeah, this classic Dr. Giggles, written and directed by Manny Coto.
Manny Coto, yeah.
Manny Coto, who just passed away in 2023, RIP, my guy. He wrote a lot of Dexter, not this new series that apparently everybody hates.
I think I got canceled already.
Yeah.
Officially.
I was assuming so.
Yeah.
He also wrote Star Kid.
There you go.
Pretty wild fucking movie. Nobody really remembers.
Yeah, I assume this is his biggest claim to fame.
You mean Star Kid? No, I'm just kidding. yeah. I mean, he directed something for American Horror Story, apparently.
Okay, that's fine. So, at the same time,
I think
it's the same movie.
What I'm trying to get at is we need to review Star Kid.
Yeah, so put it on the list.
So we can get to that point where the kid's like, I need a pee. And then the robot thing opens up something on his chest. It's like, I never forgot that because I was like, this kid's been needing to pee the rest of the movie. I don't think he ever
got out of
it till the end.
But yeah, he's the thing's a toilet. All right. Do you have any other thoughts before we go to spoilers?
No.
Okay. We're in spoilers.
Wait! No, stop, stop, stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Stop. Please stop the podcast. Because we're about to go into...
Spoilers! Spoiler, this movie's perfect. Spoiler, Dr. Giggles kills a bunch of people. 17 to be exact.
Yeah. I think, and well, like, obviously...
Like Marathon ran past... three different nurses and stabbed them real quick because they all died in a row on the floor. You remember that part at the very, very end where there's like,
yeah,
this doctor walks out and there's like three dead bodies just like in a row. Like, that's so funny.
And he managed to carry these large comical, medical instruments.
Yeah.
With them.
Yeah.
They were all like obsessively larger than the next. So it's just like, too funny.
These, some new devices I've made, but I haven't had a chance to try them out. And they're just like, yeah, you're right. Ridiculously large. Like he's got a Felix the Cat type of medical bag. It's just pulling out. Like, I was waiting to pull out like a sailboat or something.
Yeah. And I also, in all seriousness, there's a really nice shot sequence in this movie when Holly Marie Combs' character is on the run and then she runs into like a house of mirrors, like a fun house type thing. I really enjoyed this sequence where it's clearly the classic, like, you don't know where anybody's coming from. The bad guy's chasing the final girl in a fun house of mirrors. And so there's like, you don't know what's real, what isn't. I actually thought this was very well done, very well directed. Good sequence.
Yeah. I was going to say some of my favorite moments, and I keep thinking they're intentional now. There's a lot of parts where they're in Dr. Giggles' like home, like old home, right? That apparently they built like in some part. So they had all the time in the world to fix these things. They kept like breaking through windows to open up doors. And when they turn the knob, there's no indication of like a keyhole or a lock. It's just like a regular doorknob. So I was like, well, how did it lock? I don't understand. Like, why would you need a brick? You could have just turned the knob.
Yeah.
There's like four or five different doors like that. But yeah, the The movie's perfect. I don't know what else to say.
Okay. I did also like the sequence where the really fun visuals of comically large mouth and then him putting a tongue dispenser in it and depressor. Yeah. And there's, I was reading that they actually built a comically large mouth and a giant tongue. What is it?
Which he does that to the dad's new girlfriend, right? I think.
No, he does it to the neighbor.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess it's one of his in the neighborhood, and she's the one, she's the older lady with the dog.
Yeah, Nancy Fish, right? That was her name.
And I think she, like, catches him because he's, like, killing all the teenagers that went into his house for some reason during the day.
Yeah.
When he just got back, so.
You remember, like, the white friends thought it would be a really funny joke to lock their black friends inside of the house?
And nobody questioned it.
I'm telling you, I think it was written intentionally like this. It's really funny, actually. It's like, just like making fun of the casual racism in fucking 80s films.
Yeah, and I think there's some really cool sequences. Even the one where you already mentioned it, where he gets shot at some point, and then he like operates on himself. And he like is going through the lines of procedure to take out a bullet and stuff. I thought it was just like, what is this movie? Different
colored latex gloves to pretend to differentiate that there's a surgeon. Yeah,
exactly.
And he's just like stone face, like, you know, cutting himself open. He's like, oh, that's smart. It was really good. I just want to mention Nancy Fish. I was like, God, she looks super familiar, but I thought maybe I was confusing her with, why am I blanking on her name? Fucking Billboards in Ebbing, Missouri. And
Frances McDormand?
Yes. I was like, maybe I just, you know, confusing her like in these older movies. No, but Nancy Fish played Mrs. She's the landlord in The Mask.
Another classic. I haven't seen that one in a bit.
I mean, she's also in Death Becomes Her and Sudden Impact.
Well, there you go. Should have started there. Sudden Impact, classic movie.
Classic Clint Eastwood movie, Sudden Impact.
Yeah.
But yes, all-star cast.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
With Keith Diamond. I don't know what else
he's Yeah, I mean, come on. I mean, the real star of this movie is Larry Drake. He's without question, that's amazing in this movie.
Yeah, he's just fun to watch every time. I'm like, yeah, it's great. I remember growing up thinking, like, Larry Drake, I didn't like him because I hated his haircut. But damn, if that didn't get him a bunch of parts, I don't know. He didn't look that way.
Oh, how can I forget this one? Again, one of my favorite scenes in this movie, just really quick, is one of the friends is having her boyfriend over and they go upstairs to sleep. And then you have, like, the little kid play, like, what is he playing? Dr. Mario, obviously, which is funny. Yes, yeah. That's a funny joke. And then he goes upstairs and he's like trying to get ready, trying to put on get ready for sex. And he's like trying to put a condom on and kind of going through very, very, this is a very 90s observed moment here. And then like she's putting on like some lingerie or whatever. And
dude, do you remember where she got the lingerie?
Oh, no. Where did she get the lingerie? From her mother's room?
He fucking shows up. This is where the scene starts. They're talking and they're basically going to have sex. And he's like, yeah, babe, look, I got this. And she's like, oh, this is nice. Where'd you get it from? I was like, I snagged it from my mom's suitcase before she left on vacation. I was like, what? That was fantastic. How could you take, why would people take this movie seriously? Come on.
I know. Yeah. It's just ridiculous. And the sequence is, she gets murdered, right? Obviously. And then, so he's like, all right, babe, I'm ready for sex. And then he comes back out and he tries to like, oh, you in bed? So he goes under bed and he have the, I don't even know how to describe this, the blanket over him when he's trying to crawl in bed, looking like he's crawling to bed. And then at the other end, it's fucking Larry Drake in a doctor's outfit.
In a fetal position, right?
In a very like, yeah.
It's so weird. Did you bring protection?
He's like, oh.
And I think he screaming. Says, did you bring protection?
Yeah, did you bring protection?
My favorite part about that also is, like I've been mentioning, Larry Drake is a massive guy. Like, he's way more muscular than I thought. Like, how did he confuse?
And how he's going through these, like,
look so small, right, on the bed.
It's just like this ocean of blankets that he's having to maneuver through and stuff. So
it almost played out like a Nightmare on Elm Street gag or something.
Yeah. It's too funny. Absolutely great. Okay, cool.
One of my other favorite, there's a bunch, but one of my other favorite ones is, so our cop who, the older cop at one point, they're about to get in a fight. He's like, "You got to tell me I'm your partner." And then he has that whole long soliloquy about, you know, he hasn't touched the bottle of alcohol since that night when he saw, I don't think we mentioned, Rendell, the Dr. Giggles, was hiding in his mom's body and he cut himself out of the body as a child and started giggling and then ran away. And when he came to, the whole thing had been cleaned up and the kid was gone, which is why I'm confused. Nobody knew he was in a mental hospital.
But yeah,
I guess he hadn't slept in 35 years, right? He gets stabbed in the back of the neck and he says, "You know, you owe me 35 years of sleep, you son of a bitch." But when he's like warning the younger cop, like, he says some long nursery rhyme after telling that story. says, "Don't go chasing nursery rhymes." And then they're like, they ask that other cop later, the younger cop, like, "Where are you going?" He's like, "I'm chasing nursery rhymes."
Jesus Christ.
And then they're fighting towards the end, the fake out death for Dr. Giggles. You think he blew up, but he didn't. He comes back and he's all burnt to shit.
His left side of his face is like burned, I guess, based on the makeup. It's supposed to be like he's burned or something.
It just kind of looks like his skin was bubbling and stayed that way. I don't know.
Pretty much, yeah.
He runs because the cop almost like stopped him, and he goes up to something and it's like a Dutch POV of him, Larry Drake, and he's like, "It's time to do what doctors do best." And they spin the camera around and it's a bunch of golf clubs.
Yeah. That's stupid. Yeah. Oh man. Yeah. There's some good moments in this movie. Absolutely funny moments. It's really funny. Really enjoyable. Okay. Do you have any other thoughts before you rate the movie?
No, I think I'm ready to rate it.
Perfect. John, how many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
How many sexy spooky bones will you give it? Sexy bones. Ooh, sexy bones. Well, I know what you need. Show us your sexy spooky bones.
No, wait, don't do that. Just rate the movie.
I'm going to give Dr. Giggles 8 sexy spooky bones.
Yeah, that's pretty much where I'm at. I feel like 7, I was going to say 7, but that feels a little low.
For what this is? Because it is perfect for what it is.
Like this is just a good time.
Yeah,
this is just like a fun movie you can put on with groups of friends and just have the best time.
And again,
laughing at this movie.
Again, I think we will allow a remake, but it's going to be shot for shot.
It's pretty much.
You got to Gus Van Sant this fucker and just shot for shot remake a classic movie.
If there ever was, a moment to do that experiment, it would be this movie. I'm going to give it 8 as well. All right, guys, girls, I'm Binary Pals. Thank you for listening. And as always,
stay spooky and call me in the morning.